how does one go through the Haggadah to make sure to get the most out of each and every single step of the Seder? Yair Dar, who is an educator with many years of experience, takes us through the process to really make sure that we can accomplish this on the Seder night with ideas like 21 and the timeline shuffle. So many incredible ideas you will want to make sure to listen to this episode. This is another one of the reruns from last year, from 2 years ago, from Jeducation, and we'll be having throughout this week, like I mentioned yesterday, in yesterday's episode, like we had Mrs. Kamenetsky, we have Yair Dar, we have Mrs. Sari Kopitnikov with really creative ideas. We have Dr. Robin Axelrod with really amazing ideas of how to help get our children involved in the cleaning. We have Mrs. Sharon Richter, who has the Spiritual Sparks program before Pesach and before all the holidays to really make the most out of Pesach and with every single holiday. And then we have Rabbi Yechiel Weberman, who is, you know, the king of Pesach with incredible, incredible props, incredible ideas, so many amazing resources that he provides. And then we're going to end off our week with a brand new episode for Pesach from Rabbi Pesach Kron, who is, you know, the Maggid, the great, great storyteller that he is, who's going to give us amazing stories for each and every single aspect of the Seder. And I can't wait to provide you with that, really to help make your Yontif more meaningful and to help you make this incredible experience for your children, to make it a really impactful and meaningful Pesach. Without further ado, enjoy this episode. Raising children in general is not easy. Throw in the desire to have passionate and committed Jews, now that's next level hard. With weekly episodes on Our Parenting Hierarchy, you will find the answers to your biggest parenting questions and gain the best practices you need to raise the children the way you want, to raise the Jews next door. I want to say a major thank you to you for taking the time
out of your schedule. You missed one detail. Your neighbor.
And my neighbor.
A couple houses down. Two years.
100%.
Yeah.
There we go. So thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to education.
Excited.
Okay. So first things first, what inspired you to go into Jewish education in the first place?
So I would say my story is, it's, I think, typical of a lot of people around my age, which is, you know, the educational experience that I had growing up wasn't ideal for me. Part of it was me. Part of it was, you know, the generation of teachers that were teaching us. And I felt like I had the ability to, and I wanted to be able to go back into Jewish education and make it a better experience for the
That's awesome.
For the
what
kids.
Was that what you were planning on doing at all, like throughout the time?
Yeah, I mean, it depends when you ask me what time in my life.
When you were in college, that was like when you were already.
Yeah,
starting.
That was already. Yeah, I think even before that, I was always on the path to chinuch. I think
that's
that,
awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So you've been leading, you know, these different Seder workshops. How did you get involved with that?
Starting with my family. It was more, we have Seders and we want to make the Seders good. And I always wanted to, you know, make sure my kids had a really enjoyable time.
That's awesome.
So that was it.
What do those workshops look like a little bit?
So it's usually, it's been on Zoom, I think, every time I've done it. So it's also recorded. I can share the link afterwards.
Okay, awesome. We'll put that out there for the educators.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a slideshow, you know, because you have to have slideshows.
Of course.
It's a slideshow that I basically walk through, you know, some basic advice in terms of going into the Seder, how to think about preparing for the Seder, you know, chronologically, basically. Mm-hmm. And going through a couple of strategies, general strategies that would be useful at the Seder. And then specific ideas that I have, and I have, you know, printable and materials that I could share.
Sounds
also
good. Okay, so we're a couple of weeks out now. What's your guidance? What should we be doing right now to prepare?
I'm not telling anybody when to start preparing for Pesach, especially if you're doing cleaning.
I hear that. Well, this is a different type of Pesach.
Yes.
Right, you know?
Yeah. So I don't think you have to start preparing right now. Maybe starting to think about it is a good idea. That's what I would say. I think the first thing is really to start thinking about getting a sense of, you know, what you want to get across at the Seder to your kids and, you know, what you think would work, you know, making, you know, talking to your children also is always very good. You know, what would you like to do at the Seder this year? What do you think would be fun? Maybe they can help you with some ideas and getting just a sense of them, both from talking to them and thinking about your kids, like, you know, what, and all the truth is, it's not just your kids, anyone who's going to be at your Seder.
Right.
You know, for children, what they would want to get out of the Seder and starting to think about like what your kids' personalities are like, which what will work for them at the Seder.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's awesome. So how, like what you're saying is really taking a very educational approach towards the Seder, which, so how can we help parents, you know, the premise of this podcast is that parents are educators.
Of course.
But how can we help parents who don't necessarily have that training become educators on this night, you know, and really make it the best possible experience for their children?
Right. So like you said, you know, parents, of course, are educators. You know, they're the first educators of their kids and the last educators of their kids. We're kind of the ones that just kind of help them along the way.
Right, right.
I would say that there's two things, meaning from a parenting standpoint, you know, the parents know their kids better than anybody knows their kids. So the first thing is just, you know, get to know your children and think about, I mean, you know them, but like really start thinking about them and how that would work out for the Seder. Like I said before, there are plenty of parents who are talented and are thoughtful and are creative and come with their own ideas, and that's great. If not, so, you know,
that's why we have Yair Darz in the world.
Exactly. That's why we have Yair Darz in the world.
There you go. Awesome.
You can thank my mom. I think the key is really just getting getting ideas for materials. I don't think we really need much more than that. I think it's really just, you know, if there are materials that you have that you can create, great. And if not,
When you say materials, are you talking about like the fun shtick, or you're talking about like also like actually like the Midrashim, the Haggadah, the Divrei Torah, stuff like that? Like, what are you referring to?
I would say a little bit of both. I think that if a parent feels comfortable in terms of their understanding of what the Haggadah means to them and what they'd like to get across to their kids, I think that's most important. Because you know what a parent cares about is going to come across to their kids.
Totally.
You don't want to adjust your approach to what you get out of the Haggadah and try to teach that to your children, because that's not going to come across as authentic, and you want it to be meaningful and authentic,
right, that you
can feel, that you're really getting the message across in a real way. So, and then as far as like, you know, I don't want to call it necessarily shtick. Some of it is shtick, and some of it is like just creative ways of passing the message along in a way that kind of like the kids can hear it.
Totally.
I think understanding the Haggadah to me is actually a point where those kind of the two things can overlap. I've done a lot of thinking and a lot of work myself in terms of like just going through Maggid and figuring out like, okay, like why is this here? Why is this here? Why is this here?
That's
why
such
is
a good
this
point.
Here? Why is this here? And then thinking about, well, okay, how can I get that message across to the kids? Or is it really, you know, is this the message that I want to focus on, or are we going to read this and move on?
Right, right.
So I think that's kind of like a middle ground. Not necessarily figuring out like, what do I want to get out of the Haggadah in general to say tonight, but just like,
is actually going through the Haggadah, right?
Exactly. What does it mean to go through the Haggadah? So I think that's a way in which, you know, educators or really anybody can help parents, but I think that's something that all parents should try to figure out how to do. Because if you're going to go through the Haggadah, like just like, are you comfortable with the things that you're reading? Like, I get why this is here. I get what it is. Mm. You want to feel like you have a certain sense of, ownership is the right word, or belonging to the, in
such
the Haggadah.
A great point. Cause I feel like usually Haggadah prep people go and there's like, oh, I'm going to learn as many different Torah as I can or whatever it is, but that's not necessarily going to be what you want to give over, you know, in your Seder,
correct,
to make it the best possible experience for your children, maybe for yourself, if you gain a lot out of those Divrei Torah, maybe.
Right.
But like really, really understanding what is going on through in each aspect, that's a great point.
I would also add that even if, you know, you feel like that is what you want to get across and your kids will enjoy Divrei Torah, well, there's also the parts of the Haggadah are there for a reason.
Right.
So like it's to help us, you know, guide us and tell that story. So it's nice to be able to grab a line here and grab a line there and to point out, a logical problem and with seven questions on...
Right.
Dayenu and answer them all with one answer. That's great. But that doesn't necessarily get into like, well, these things are here for a reason. So let's try to figure out why
like, what is Dayenu actually about?
Yeah, exactly. And all the steps up to that. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. What would you say are the most important themes that you've tried to give over to your children over the years?
So I think in terms of themes, I think there's really is only one main theme of the Haggadah, which is, that the Ribbono Shel Olam looks out for the Jewish people. That's it. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's a little bit more nuanced, which is, I actually started realizing this when I was focusing on each part of the Seder, when I looked at Yachatz and realizing that I think Yachatz is actually the beginning of Maggid. Because what you're doing with, and this is like, you know, this is like my go-to, I say this Devar Torah every year, because I realize that like what you're doing in Yachatz is what you're doing is you're taking in the matzah. The matzah is basically you imagine like one story of the Jewish people. The matzah itself is both something that was used in slavery because the Jewish people ate them while we were slaves, right? And on the way out. So it's a tool of slavery. It's a utility. It's a symbol of slavery. And it's also a symbol of freedom at the same time.
Nice.
And we take that whole story and then you break it in half because it's two parts of the story. There's the Ganai and the Shevach. There's the good parts and the bad parts. There's the slavery and then there's the freedom. And basically what happens is, you know, there's two parts of the story, right? One part is the smaller part, the not so good part comes first, and then the aphikoman is for later.
That's great.
And that's, I love that. That's like the whole you can tell the whole story like this. That's it. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, we save it for later, and you know we knew that, you know,
yeah,
God has our back and it's coming at the end.
That's great. That's
so
really
I think that to me is like, and then I guess that to me has been the theme I've been trying to get across. And again, every parent, it's whatever matters is meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to come across to your kids. That's what you got to do.
Sure. And how do you differentiate between like the experience that, let's say, you know, I know your kids and you have older kids and you have younger kids. How do you differentiate between their experience?
So that's more of a matter of preparation. So I guess we can go back to like just
sure.
like general preparing for
sure,
the
sure,
preparing
sure.
for the Seder. So the thing that I think has really, and again, this works for my family. That really changed the way that the Seder functions was planning out the Seder beforehand. Now, it's not as daunting as it sounds.
Yeah.
It basically just means taking out making a spreadsheet, for me personally, a spreadsheet, plugging in all the parts of the Seder, and then just next to it, like, what are we going to be doing at that part of the Seder? So then I can then speak
when
to
you
my
say,
kids.
What are we going to be doing? Meaning? You're saying like,
what am I going to do? What are my kids going to do?
You have like really like columns for each.
Exactly.
Okay, wow.
So like, well, not a column for each
kid. Not for
kid.
Each kid, but for no,
just,
you, know,
just,
you
what
and
are we
the kids,
doing?
Right?
Yeah, okay. It's what are we doing? Yeah, meaning not every kid is going to say something at every single part of the Seder.
Sure, sure.
And then I'll sit down with my kids and I'll find out, you know, A, if they have certain different Torah they want to say and they want to share. If there are certain games or certain, activities that I've come up with that we've come across over the years that we want
right.
to use, you know, plop those in, you know, put those in on the chart. And therefore through that process, making sure that there's enough, enough of the spotlight, enough of the focus on my older kids and the younger kids and being able to kind of differentiate between the two. But again, that's really like a family thing. I think that, when it comes to, older kids versus younger kids, so you have to know how your family kind of works as a group.
Sure.
Some families, if like one kid, is saying a Devar Torah, imagine your Shabbos table, one kid saying a Devar Torah, are all the other kids actually listening?
Right. Or are they totally zoned out?
Yes, exactly. Are they zoned out? Or are they like getting annoyed? Are they interrupting? Mm-hmm. Are they able to focus when the focus is on somebody else?
Right. Right.
I'm not saying, they're somewhere in between like everyone listening and like, memorizing the Devar Torah and
kids come home with their Devar Torah, right? So like you want to give them that chance to say it, but at the same time, you don't want to like totally lose everyone else. So what do you do
100%.
At those times?
Again, you want to speak to your kids. You have to know what they really want to say, what they really want to come
across.
Also,
meaning like before Pesach already, you're going to talk to them about like, okay, which Devar Torah are you coming home with and which things do you want to say as much
ideally,
as possible?
Ideally.
That's very cool.
Ideally. And again, you really put the work, you put the onus on them for the older kids and, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, maybe, they can start already looking through their Haggadah and say, well, listen, this is what I have. You don't have to sit with them. They can figure it out themselves.
Right.
We'll do that. But I think it's also making sure to, knowing, do I need to do I need to arrange my siddurim that like there are going to be some points where my kids have to know there's no chance you're saying it to my older ones. There's no chance you're saying it to Devar Torah during this
right,
point.
Right.
We're going to be focusing on the little ones during this mm-hmm. time. Or am I going to be able to say, okay, listen, when it's time for a Devar Torah, we'll just say a Devar Torah and my little ones will sit and listen because they'll have something to play with in front of them and they'll be fine.
Got it.
If not, then you might have to think about, making the first night about the little ones, and then the second night about the older ones.
Right,
you might want to think about having a point where you just where you're maybe if they're, you have two parents, if they have two parents, you could split the kids up. At
right.
a certain point, let's see some Devar Torah, and one parent takes the. If it's not a spotlight situation, if it's a spotlight situation, then you obviously want everyone's got to be able to see. The young ones got to be able to, to shine.
Right.
But
right.
it's not one of those situations. So, take a kid to the side or, give them a break.
Totally.
Give them a break and, find tchotchkes and choice and snacks. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi about what food you're allowed to eat at what points during the Seder.
Gotcha.
Just find a way that everyone's kind of entertained and don't expect it to be, everyone sitting and listening at the same time. But it's really know your family. So if you can really plan out all the steps and see it in front of you on like a little spreadsheet and just be smart about, who's getting the attention and when.
How do you balance that? How do you like empower them to give over at the same time as like, meaning how do you strike that balance? It's a very hard balance, I feel like.
Which balance?
The balance of empowering the, everyone comes home with their Devar Torah, they're so excited to say, and like they probably all want to say them as much as possible on the first night. So you want to empower them, but on the other hand, you don't want to...
And Kedusha B'lo Hachana. It's preparation.
Right.
If beforehand... it's an issue of, I'm sorry, if a kid wants to say a million Devar Torah, so beforehand you have to sit down with your kids and say, listen, we can't, We can't do it all. Find the ways to do it at the meal. Find ways to do it. And if you're really getting a lot of pushback, then you gotta be creative. Got to find a way to be creative about, at a certain point, obviously you can't just say, okay, fine, we'll say every single Dvar Torah that you want to say because you love attention. Totally. You can't do it like that because your teacher said, if you say every single Dvar Torah, then you'll get a Slurpee in school. Please, teachers, do not do that. So I think you have to know your kids and be smart. And again, you should not have power struggles at the moment. That kind of stuff needs to be thought out before. And that's more important than anything else for my family. That's been the most important thing.
Yeah,
just knowing who's going to go when and how things are going to be played out. And that way, you can get a sense of comfort and order.
If you're looking for a great way to have some good, clean, kosher fun with your children through the powerful effect of music, look no further, because J Karaoke is here. J Karaoke gives one and all the platform to belt out their favorite tunes from a library of thousands of Jewish songs, hundreds of artists, and genres across multiple decades of incredible Jewish music. Personally, I know that I love singing. I love it. I love karaoke, but I was really never able to get into it because it wasn't the Jewish songs. And that's where J Karaoke comes in with their huge selection from the latest hits to the classics. They even have nursery rhymes for your little ones. And with features like key changes to help you sing, to make you more comfortable as you're singing, and speeding it up or slowing down the song, they have really thought of everything. To enjoy Jewish karaoke your way, all you need to do is head to jkaraoke.com. Choose a subscription that fits for you. And to make it even more fun, you could purchase their state-of-art karaoke kit, which gives you the feeling as if you are today's top singer. You can insert whoever you feel it is. Connect your kit to any device, like it could be a laptop, a computer, a tablet, whatever it is, and you plug in your speaker, plug in your J Karaoke microphone, and you sing away. It's as easy as that. That's all it is, and it's really fun. I checked out their website. It really looks amazing. They have an incredible, incredible amount of song selection. Anything you want. They got Thank You Hashem. They got Mordechai Shapiro. They really got it all. You can subscribe monthly for just $4.99 a month, yearly for $49.99, and we have a special deal here for you. For any of our listeners, if you use the code JewsNextDoor, D-O-R, you get an additional 10% off. And if you don't want your children to be using a device with internet, J Karaoke's got you covered. You can download the app onto your desktop. Once you have it up, turn off the internet, let them sing all day long without the internet. Check out J Karaoke today and let the fun begin.
Yeah.
In the Seder.
It's a great idea.
No surprises.
Do you use types of visuals during the Seder at all?
I wouldn't say visuals because I think to teach, generally teach the Haggadah, it's a lot more, it's a lot of storytelling. It's a lot of discussion. And if, you feel that you need visuals for that, my family hasn't really needed those. We haven't done a lot in the way of visuals.
Got it. When you say storytelling, what do you mean?
Because I think it's important to, at least the way that I've looked at things, is really understanding each step of the Seder along the way. And I want my kids to understand what's happening. So I try to find a way to get that message across in another way. So for example, going back, let's say a yachatz. So yachatz, we're talking about, let's say the good, and then the good came later, and it was saved for later. So,
right.
I think I wrote a story because I do that kind of stuff, about someone who about a kid, who had an experience in life where it didn't work out well in the beginning. And then, but it set them up for success in the end.
Nice. So I'll tell that story. Give it over with stories.
Yeah. So I'll get the message over in a different way. Or when it comes to, karpas, right? So you have the salt water. Karpas. So we do we do charades, right? So it's not really storytelling, but we do charades of why am I crying? So I'll, tell a kid why, and they have to come up with, they have to act out why they're crying.
That's
and
great. That's
so
awesome.
It's a way of it's a way of just saying, of trying to understand, here's what's happening at this part of the Seder. Here's why it's here. And let's try to find another way to hit on it. I have a couple of intros that we do to Rabbi Lezer Nazaria and Rabbi Kiva and they were sitting in Bnei Brak. I just write an introduction in a poem. And the kids have to guess the rhyming word at the end.
Interesting. So again, and every year you do differently, you're saying, or
we do those every single year. Cause it's just, it becomes tradition.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Certain things
that's
become tradition. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That consistency is also good.
Yeah. So I don't really use visuals so much. I think a lot of people use maybe tactile stuff. Again, you have to know your family. There's a lot more of storytelling and trying to hit on the themes in a way that's, fun and simpler.
how do you do that with the story of Maggid, like the story of the actual Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? How do you give that over?
So the irony of Maggid being coming, the actual Sipur being coming, like the smallest part of the
right,
of the
right,
Haggadah.
Right, right.
So the truth is, I do have a printout, which I don't have on me, which is like color codes, like the psukim and how each word teaches, like, each word of those psukim that are being darshaned.
That's very cool.
We don't sit on that. It's very interesting. I do think, and this also goes back to like when it comes to planning the Seder, because I think a lot of people have this idea of like, okay, this is the way the Seder is supposed to be, and like I want to make sure that I hit on like this message of the Seder that, you know, that I've been told since my whole life. This is what I need to get across to my kids. But I think if you look at the Haggadah itself, it's kind of like there's been so much introductory material piled on before, right? Everything up until, where would you say the actual telling of the story begins? Arami Ovid Avi, right?
Yeah.
All the stuff up until that is all introduction.
Yeah.
Four sons and Manishtana and Avadim Hayinu,
right, to get you into it, it's helping.
The story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. All that is to help us understand, it's to get into it and help us understand why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're comfortable already with focusing so much on that stuff, and I think, you know, as a Jewish community, we've done a good job of taking our Seder seriously and passing that along, and our Seders are wonderful. Most families, you know, feel like their Seders are meaningful. So I think it's okay that we don't spend so much focus on the, you know, the story itself. The story gets told throughout it. You know, we talk about it, and we talk about it at the meal, yesterday, Divrei Torah. But the truth is, during that part, so I do have an activity that I do, and this is kind of similar to what I was saying, where I'm trying to get the idea of the step across, but in a different way.
Right.
I do a timeline shuffle where I basically take the history of the Jewish people from Avraham Avinu through Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Ten Makot, and Har Sinai, really, because I could, like, Dayenu is next.
Right, right.
And I just take all the steps, each one is on a different piece of paper. And I lay them out in the show, and then like my kids have to, you know, put them in the right order.
That's cool.
And for the older ones, I did in psukim instead. So they have to figure out where the psukim are from.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's just a way of getting the story across.
What about for the younger, meaning for your younger children, are they able to do that?
My fifth grader can. And then I have my little ones in first grade. It's okay if she doesn't hear the story,
right,
of the Yetziat Mitzrayim, you know, at the Seder at that night. I mean,
gotcha.
The Seder is, I think the Seder is an opportunity to kind of get the idea of the story across without necessarily, you know, the details specifically, especially at that age.
Right. Right.
And it pervades everything, you know, everything that we talk about, it's the whole Yetziat Mitzrayim story, it's in there.
That's awesome.
So I think,
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So would you say that you have like a go-to Haggadah or not necessarily?
My go-to Haggadah is whatever fits in front of me. It's the Arscroll Haggadah or the Maxwell House.
I hear that.
Haggadah.
Okay. There you go. The smallest.
The smallest for me is important, which, it reminds me of a point that I was thinking about, which is another very important way, I think, to do to prepare for the Seder. You're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Sure.
Okay, so for all the listeners at home, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is basically a list of levels, like organized like a pyramid, where a human being has to fill those needs in order to be able to get to the next level,
right,
and
right,
do it and properly. So if you don't have the bottom line, which is like, you know, food, clothing, and shelter,
right. Mm-hmm.
So how do you expect me to like find meaning in life, right? So I think it's very important at the Seder to know what those things are for your family,
and for each
of your kids. So like for me, like I need space. I don't want to have anything in front of me. I don't want to have a Seder plate in front of me. I want it to be off to the side somewhere. Like the fewer things that I can knock over and spill, I'll do it anyway. I'll spill something. I'll manage to do it. That's important. So like,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. Some kids might want, you know, if you have kids that need toys, if you have kids that want to feel comfortable, if you have, you know, you have to know what those things.
And that could be individual for each and every single child. That's totally different.
That's 100% correct.
Wow. That's such a great, I really love that. That's awesome.
Right. You know, which child needs attention. You know, which child likes the spotlight. Give them the spotlight right away. So they got that attention.
They got it and then they can go on. Right. That's great. That's awesome. Do you have any, would you say, you were saying that you have specific either poems or stories. Do you have any go-to, you know, I guess either stories or poems that you can share or go-to Divrei Torah that you share?
So Divrei Torah, I usually say the same two Divrei Torah every year.
That's the
Achatz one. Okay. And I say the, Well, the truth, no. I think that's really the only one because I get enough for my kids. And you right. know, if I'll look through Haggadah, and if something comes out, sticks out to me, like, wow, that's an amazing Devar Torah. So I'll try to find a spot to share it. But if not, I'll share it at the meal or something like that.
Right.
So I don't think I have any like go-to, and again, all my go-to activities, I got to list somewhere. Again, like I said, I'll share it. We can provide it for the listeners afterwards. I do have a couple of like specific ideas, that I'll bring up here in terms of, I'm not going to know the poems by heart.
Yeah. That's
that I'll bring up here. I got my little notes app over here. Here we go. So to start the Haggadah, I also think it's very important to start the Seder, with fun. That's important. So the first thing that we do every year, do you know the game 21? Well, not blackjack.
Yeah. But it's the basketball game 21.
The basketball game 21 or the, yeah. No, it's where you basically have, you have a bunch of people and they have to say the numbers 1 through 21 in order, but two people can't speak at the same time. They can't. So we do that with the order of the Seder, you know, Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz.
Nice.
Right. So we have fun at the beginning.
That's,
you know,
cute.
So, yeah. Right. So
it's a nice way to get the Simanim very, you know, interactive. That's great.
Yes. Right. And it's a way of like starting out the Seder with fun. Because the most important thing is at the end of the day, is that the kids come away with a positive feeling.
Yeah. Totally.
Everyone comes away with a positive feeling. So, you want to start off with fun. That's for sure. I like to have it that questions that we ask, anyone could participate in. I give out, my kids and I prepare it now together. Shout out to Talia and Atara and Yael and Ayla, who've been, you know, getting older and being more helpful, but you know, Talia and Atara, for all their help for, you know, preparing materials. And so I'll have, let's say, cards that have, you know, everyone gets a set of cards that have, you know, each card has like a step of the Seder in it. Each card has, you know, what the Arabanim on it. Each card has, what am I forgetting? It doesn't really matter anyway. And then I'll ask questions about some of them funny and some of them real, where people can like, you know, everyone can like, you know, raise their card to say what their answer should be.
Interesting. So meaning what's on the card? The card just says
Karpas, Yachatz,
oh, okay.
You know, Russia, Tom, whatever it is. So we'll ask questions. Like one of the questions we'll ask is, if you wanted to convince somebody that Judaism is like beautiful, which step of the Seder would you use to show them that and why?
Oh, yeah, so I mean, they're like, going to hold up. They think card. That their answer, their right. card is right. Oh, that's, yeah, right. Yeah, that's nice. Right.
And then like, you know, if like one person has an answer that's different than everybody else, like you ask that person to explain, you know, why uh-huh. they chose that. Some of them are
so everyone has all the same cards.
Right. Everyone's got a set.
Oh, yeah. And okay. Can, okay. Right. Oh, that's great. Right. That's
so that
cool.
way we can also start the Seder off.
Do you
off.
Have that as like a list of questions and like the cards?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. yeah. Cool. It's all, like I said, I'll share everything.
Amazing. That's very cool.
So, that's also a way, like starting off the Seder, not excluding anybody. Yeah. Which I guess the positive way be including everybody.
Right.
So starting the Seder, including everybody, is also very helpful.
So you
as
start
well.
That in the beginning. You do that before you even do
it. Yeah, Karpas, Yachatz. Yeah, exactly. Wow. So it's questions about like the...
So first you do the game of 21.
Right.
And then you get into this.
Yeah, but again, it all depends on, you know...
Now what's going on.
Yes, again.
Nice.
Which of course is the important message of, you have to be able to adjust on
right.
the fly.
Rolling with it.
Yeah,
right.
you have to be able to adjust on the fly. You have to be able to, you know, to say, listen, I know that this is what I planned. You have to be okay throwing something out or not using something that you spent hours on.
Totally.
That's super important as well. I think I've hit on at least some of the specific, you know, fun ideas that, I have a bunch more, but you know, I want to make sure to get a couple of specific ideas.
How would you say that you differentiate between the experience of the two star? Meaning is night two basically a copy basically,
it's,
or?
Yeah, it's basically a repeat, but again, because you plan out beforehand. So whatever you can say, the first thing you get said, second, whatever game.
And that's pre-planned, meaning like you'll have specific games that are night two, correct, specific right.
and
to
sometimes,
night two.
Yeah, sometimes during the Seder, my kids will say, okay, can we not do that? Can we just do that tomorrow? I'll say, well, I'll do it tomorrow.
Nice.
You could, a good idea is, again, like I said before, you know, focusing on the older kids, the second Seder. In the past, when my kids were much younger, my older ones were younger, we did like the second day we did a model Seder before night falls. We did, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, we did a model Seder for them. They got to do all the other, you know, all the things, and then they went to sleep early.
Right.
Again, it's the same kind of thing as if they're prepared to know the second Seder is going to be about the big ones. Right. And of course you focus on the first Seder. This is your Seder. This is the night for you. Then
right.
and the big
right.
ones are okay with that. Then, you know,
yeah,
Shalom HaYisrael. I mean, not Shalom HaYisrael, obviously, but you know, you hope Shalom HaYisrael, yeah. You know, but yeah, again, the idea, you know, preparing and speaking to your kids beforehand so you're all on the same page is very important. You don't want to be doing things on the fly as much as you can. Again,
so.
That does not mean that you have to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours preparing beforehand. It just means
you
know what
plan.
You're planning on right. doing before you do it. If that involves not a lot, that's great. You got to do what's right for you, what's right for your family.
Yeah.
But yeah, to know beforehand what you're going to do, I think is very important.
It's a very, very good point. How would you say, you know, the Pesach is the Chag of our Emunah. Like you said before, the whole theme of it is knowing that Hashem, you know, cares about us and is there for us and is really caring for us in every single way. How can we instill our children with a real genuine belief, with Emunah, on the night of the Seder? Because that's really, I mean, like you're saying, that is what it's all about. So how do we really accomplish that?
So I'm gonna say that the word instill one's children, instill them with Emunah, is a little bit daunting. I don't think it's necessarily the word. I think a lot of pressure has been put on the Seder over the years that maybe necessarily it does not. I think we need to release some of the pressure of the Seder a little bit.
I hear you.
And not to think that however the Seder goes
is make or break
the entire year. Exactly.
I gotcha.
It's not like Yom Kippur of Rosh Hashanah of a moon. Although again, you'll probably say that,
but yeah, exactly. I gotcha.
Exactly. So I Paskin. Yeah. I like to lean towards the other approaches, which is, I think we have to start by, again, this is what I was like, you know, my focus before is let's look at the Haggadah and the Seder and see like, why is all this stuff here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the formula itself of the Seder is meant to do that. That's why, you know, if you look at, like I said, Yachatz is there for a reason, why you're breaking the matzah. The Pesach matzah and maror, the real point of the Seder is, I think, is to instill Emunah through acting things out, through activity. That's why you have to say, you know, anyone who doesn't say Pesach matzah and maror, you know, you're not Yotze, you're Chiyuv, because you have to really be pointing out while you're doing the mitzvah that, you know, I'm doing this mitzvah, and then you read the paragraph about why I'm doing this, you're basically pointing out that the reason why we're doing things is to tell the story through what we're doing.
Right.
And the Seder is really meant to, so if you can really understand what's happening at each step along the way and try to get that across, you know, again, eating maror because it was bitter, like that's it. It was bitter. And then we eat the afikomen because it was good later. It's all there. It just needs to be fleshed out. And I think if kids see that you are, you know, that the parents are into it and that they're focusing on whatever they want to get across, I think that's the most important. I think all the steps are there. It's just a question of like just being able to, you know, get the most out of each step at the Seder.
Sure, sure.
And then the rest of the year, the conversation continues.
Right. Reinforcing those ideas.
Yeah.
Right.
I think 100%. I think we should look at the Seder as an opportunity to get that main idea across, do the things that we're supposed to do properly, understand why we're doing what we're doing it, and like make it positive. And that way the instilling part is the positivity more than anything else.
Right. Totally. And you mentioned just now acting out. Are there other things that you act out during your Seder other than like the built in things?
We don't do a lot of acting at the Seder. Again, like the Karpas thing I said before, we act out, why am I crying? We don't do a lot of much of that. I don't think it's necessarily acting out as much as it is doing activities that tell the story.
Right. Right.
I think that's you eat the matzah, you lean because you're acting like someone who leans.
Right. Right. Totally.
I think that to me is really where you want where to go. Then again, Emunah itself. So there's the Emunah of B'nai Yisrael that. And again, I think also I would also add telling stories of Emunah from throughout history. I think is very important.
Yeah,
I would
very
add
powerful.
That. Yes.
Sure.
I think that's an important thing.
Do you
that's
have like go tos that you do every year or more? It depends on the year. Or it depends
we
on the.
I have a list. I forget at what point of the Seder I do it. Or I said I was going to do it and then didn't do it. I planned to do it and didn't do it. Where we talked about like, you know, the Yom Kippur War or, you know, the Six Day War or, you know, I would, you know, if depending on your crowd, you could do the Shoah and then Midianah Yisrael, depending on how you feel about things, obviously. But, you know, there are stories of Matchil B'Gnut V'Sayim B'Shvach throughout our history. And that's the whole point. That's what Vishamd is, right? This promise has repeated itself over every generation. Something's going to happen. It doesn't. And we survive. So, and you know, they don't wipe us out. So I think telling those stories, I think is important as well. I think that's something that we've done. We've started to do very well as educators in schools is really to start bringing like other stories into Okay, let me take that back. I don't. I have an explanation for what I was going to say, but it just left my head. Anyways, we're doing great as educators.
Amazing.
Everything, including what I was about to say. That I can't think of what I was going to say.
Amazing. Well, I want to say a major thank you. Really, really, you know, it's a pleasure to talk these things with you.
You can't end yet because I have one more point that I have to make, I should have made it at the beginning.
I was going to ask, do you have a final message you want to share? So there
I
you
do.
Go.
I do have a final message. Well, truth is, if you're giving me like, do you have a final message as opposed to like we're really out of time.
You tell me.
I just want to add, I'm going to say, well, I had 5 points that I learned that I wrote down or typed about how teaching, being a classroom teacher could, you know, the message that we can teach parents about how to run the Seder well.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to do it quickly. And then I'm going to one important point that if I didn't make this point, the whole thing would have been a waste. And I could have said it at the beginning. So again, I think I should mention this already. So I'm just looking at my list right here. Nope. Don't put all the pressure on one night. I think we mentioned that already, right? The same way that you don't put all your pressure on one year. You have to, you know, in school, you have to look at, you know, these kids are going to be learning every year. You can't teach them everything in 1 year. Be comfortable with the material, right? The same way that a teacher, if you walk in, if you're not comfortable with what you're teaching, right, then it's not going to work out. So if you're a parent preparing for the Seder, if be comfortable with the Haggadah. If you're going to, you know, download stuff to use, try to read the stories once or twice. You're not reading it for the first time at the Seder itself. Know your goal. We've mentioned that along the way. The same way that if you have to know why, you know, what's my goal in teaching this class today or this class throughout the year, same thing at the Seder. Know why what am I trying to get across, and make sure that the things that you do are in line. Know what you can accomplish in the lesson. I think we've also hit on that too, I guess, which is, you know, don't overshoot and just, you know, be realistic. And again, like I said, be open to switching gears in between.
Right.
Sometimes you throw out, you know, I've thrown out stuff, you know, that I've worked on for weeks and say, okay, this is not working. I got to start over.
Totally.
So I think to be comfortable doing that.
That's a great point.
It turns out we ended up hitting on all of them anyway. Anyways. And then I think the final note is parents, can I look at the camera for this one?
Please.
Parents, no Afikoman presence.
Oh.
Now, whoa, let me explain myself.
Here we go. Let's hear it.
No Afikoman presence. I'm not being a Grinch or a curmudgeon, I don't know, what's the Jewish version of that? Like Grinch, like who's like the Grinchiest person in the Torah that we could, you know, Korach? Haman? I don't know. I'm not trying to be a Korach or a Dasan Vaviram on this one, but you have to use it to your advantage. Participation prize. It changes everything. Hmm. Don't just give them a prize because they found the Afikoman that if they didn't find, you would show them where it is. Because if not, you're not going to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for them to find the Afikoman.
Right.
Participation prize. Say, here are the things that you signed up to do. Here are the things that I want you to do. Here are your goals. Do them and give them extra credit. If they don't end up getting enough to reach their prize, give them an opportunity the next night or during the day to like learn something or suit something or say something.
That's a great
don't
point.
Waste the opportunity. Prizes work really well to motivate. Don't give it up for the Afikoman present.
Oh, okay. Amazing. 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 Well, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Really amazing, amazing points. And really from an educator's perspective to really lead the Seder and really always making sure to hit it. What am I trying to get out of this Seder? What am I trying to get out of this point? What is the Haggadah trying to tell us? And it's really, you know, the preparation component is a really, really a great point, and really appreciate your time.
All right. This has been good.
Worked out
pretty well. All right. So I'll be happy to share any materials. You'll be able to pass it along to everybody
else. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Jews Next Door. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. I'd love to hear your takeaways. Reach out to us. Reach out to me at yair@genoff.org. hi@genoff.org. You can check us out on the website. You could leave a question there. We'd love to be in touch. Please be in touch. Check us out on Instagram at @ParentingTheJewsNextDoor. Hit me up on Twitter at yairmanshel. And we're on TikTok now too. We have some great content, a lot of really great insights into parenting, tips, parenting pointers, reaction videos, and quotes. We have a lot going on. We have a lot of articles. You want to check it out. Check it out at genoff.org. You won't be sorry you did. And I look forward to hearing from you. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure you subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Looking forward to another great episode next week.